in the last of these talks, I want to deal with the very important question of conscience. The Bible, and Paul in particular, has much to say about conscience. I suppose nothing better then a good conscience can be found to minister to the peace of God within one's own mind and life. In a good conscience, there's an inward warmth and satisfaction that makes for happiness. Now, for the purpose of clarity and brevity, I think I'll put this talk in the form of questions and answers. And the first question is, what is conscience? I remember asking a Sunday school boy this many years ago, and he said it's something between the heart and the mind. Well, that's very vague, and that's about as vague as most people are today on the subject of conscience. Conscience is an inward compulsion that urges us towards the right as we know it. Mark that, as we know it. It's that stern ought, I ought, and I ought not, that whispers to us in moments of testing or temptation. I want you to hear what a pagan philosopher, Seneca, had to say. He wrote that every night, and I quote, every night I examine my life. I open my conscience to the gods, for conscience is to every man a sort of God. And Seneca was right in that. Conscience is God, speaking within, or what we know of God, speaking within. And then another quotation from Seymour Hicks, the one-time famous actor. He said, no judge that sentences a wretch to penal servitude is half as hard as your better self. Your better self, who sits with you in life's twilight and whispers, they all think you are wonderful, don't they? But you and I know what a fraud you are. End of quote. And in the second chapter of Romans, verse 15, Paul has an important thing to say. He's thinking about the great heathen world. We often ask the question, what will become of the heathen who've never heard about Christ, and what will God do with them? Well, Paul kind of answers it in this way. He said, they have a law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing them witness. Now, all people have a law written in their hearts. Even the little child has a sense of what's right and wrong, and their conscience bears them witness. These all agree, Seneca, Seymour Hicks, and the Apostle Paul, these all agree that man carries with him a witness to the eternal law. He passes judgment on his own actions. Unhappy the man whose conscience condemns him, for he is condemned indeed. Second question is conscience always right? The answer to that is no. conscience is not an infallible guide. Now, that doesn't contradict what I said before. And it doesn't contradict what I'm going to say presently. But I want you to hear the Apostle Paul. He said, I persecuted unto death, binding and delivering them into prison. Now, you know the story of Paul's persecuting deeds. But he said, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. In persecuting the Christians, and even having them put to death, he was obeying his conscience. He was a Pharisee. He was opposed to Christ, and he thought he was doing right. Strange things can be done in the name of conscience. I heard of a mother who snatched a dolly away from her little girl because the Bible had spoke against graven images. I've heard of a man in the condemned cell on the day of his execution, being a Friday. He was told that he could have whatever he wanted for breakfast that morning. They suggested to him that he might like a plate of ham and eggs. He said to them, I want you to know that my conscience will not permit me to eat meat on Friday. A man condemned for murder with a conscience that wouldn't allow him to eat meat on Friday. Heard of a man who stole a horse on Saturday because his conscience would not allow him to steal it on Sunday. So I repeat, strange things are done in conscience's name. The third question, how do we know when conscience is right? There are different consciences, and they're like different clocks or timepieces. How do we know when time is correct? Well, we have a set standard. We have Greenwich Mean Time. Above all the clocks is the sun, and the sun is infallible. The moral standard for us is not only a code, but an infallible person, the Son of God. He's our standard. And we'll not be wrong if we follow him. We'll so often be wrong if we don't. Why then did God not give us a conscience that's always right? Well, the briefest way I can answer that is to say that God gave us the sun, but man made watches. It's not the fault of the sun if our timepieces differ. God gave us Christ, and he gave us the book by which to correct our consciences. And if we fail to do that, we're just as faulty as if we fail to set our timepiece by the sun and then blamed our watches because they were wrong. We must be sure we are informed concerning the will of God in Christ, and then do it. The answer of a good conscience toward God is a wonderful thing. And Peter speaks of that in the third chapter of his first epistle, verse 21. Look at it. It's not what the press, or the priest, or the parson says that should finally shape our conscience, but what Christ says. And the fourth question, ought we always to obey conscience? And the answer to that is yes. Now, I said earlier that conscience could be wrong and it's not an infallible guide. And now I say we should always obey our conscience. But you say, what if our conscience is wrong? Should we obey it then? If you knew that your conscience was wrong, it wouldn't be your conscience. If you knew it was wrong, you would change your attitude. To act against our conscience is always wrong, but to act in accordance with it may not always be right. I wonder if that's confusing. I hope it's not. Think about it. It's our business to see that our conscience is right. We can, in all good faith, make wrong decisions. You have the Apostle Paul doing that. He said, I have striven always to have a conscience void of offense. I heard a lassie in the Salvation Army giving her testimony in the open air once, and she said, I have striven always to have a conscience as broad as a fence. At least it sounded like that. But Paul had a conscience void of offense, even when he was doing what afterwards proved to be wrong. When he was doing it, he thought he was doing right. Well, what happens if we disobey conscience? Well, it will make it easier for us to disobey it again. You know, we do things today and hear things and see things. A few years ago, our conscience would have forbidden us to do. We look at the TV and we hear men swearing and cursing. There was a time when we would turn our back on it, walk away from bad language, but now we sit and listen to it. All kinds of evil suggestions enter our minds, and our conscience doesn't seem to trouble us. It becomes what the Apostle Paul calls seared, having our conscience seared with a hot iron, cauterized, made hard, callous. By and by there will sit in its place a sense of guilt. Don't ever bribe your conscience. Don't ever excuse wrong. There are hundreds, maybe thousands, perhaps millions of Christians today who are constantly doing things they know are wrong and arguing to themselves that things cannot be wrong when so many people are doing them. That's a false theory if ever there was one. If you have a good conscience, hold it at all costs. If you have a troubled one, bring it to God in repentance and find peace. If you have forfeited your conscience, rest not till you have recovered it, or remorse will sit in its place. Forfeit it, and the life that could have been, you could have enjoyed, the life that could have been sweet fellowship with God, will know finally the loneliness of a soul that is abandoned. Paul speaks of it as having made shipwreck. Blessed is the one who is good, pure, whose heart condemns him not, whose conscience tells him he's right with God. Conscience is the very artery of the spirit. If we sever it, we bleed to death. There are many people today who are suffering from bitter remorse because they heeded not their conscience. Make sure your conscience is right. Set it by the standard of Christ and his word. Obey it under all circumstances, and you will have peace. And as I said at the beginning, that inward peace of God, that peace within. I say again, in a good conscience, there's an inward warmth and satisfaction that makes for life's supreme happiness. May God grant that we shall have the answer of a good conscience towards God, because we've obeyed him in the things that he asks of us. Amen.